second hour. Darren, Donick, and Chase here on this Monday morning. Hope everybody's having a good start to your week. Darren McFarland and Willie Donick here with you. Chase McCabe will join us a little bit later in the program. Let's talk with TD, Tron Davenport, NFL Nation reporter covering the Titans for ESPN and ESPN.com. Talking with TD is his podcast that he drops every week. Also can be heard here on 102.5 The Game. And Friday nights during the 6 o'clock hour, Nate and TD. Nate Washington, of course, former Titans and Steelers wide receiver. And they do a good job of breaking down so many things, including the Titans and their big next matchup against those Ravens. Yep, this Sunday. And the Ravens fell last night in a rainy Foxborough to the Patriots. Teron, what's going on?
Hey, what's going on?
Anything come out of the press conference that jumped out at you? Anything newsworthy in your mind?
No, nothing much. I think it's just a conversation about getting back on track against the Ravens. Didn't really have anything newsworthy. I mean, Steven Gostkowski, as of today, is still the kicker. Adam Humphries is still in concussion protocol, understandably. And the concussion issue, that's something that Mike Vrabel approaches with caution. So I get that. And that's pretty much the only thing that I pulled for the most part from that press conference.
I thought it was interesting that he was kind of non-committal on Gostkowski, you know, just basically saying as of right now at 10:36, he's our kicker. And that was about as far as he would go with it.
Mm-hmm.
You read into anything of that, or is that just him saying, no, as of right now, he's still our kicker?
I think really that's what it is. As of right now, he's still the kicker. And the thing you have to remember, and I think the GM does such a good job of highlighting this when he's on the next show, where he talks about, okay, everybody wants change, but what is the change? What do you change to? And so many people just say, I don't care, just get somebody else. And there's not really much else out there. And I think that's something that Gostkowski has working in his favor right now. And you can't just make a change for the sake of making a change. So I think, you know, it's going to take a little bit more for them to actually finally break down and do it. And that's pretty much my standpoint, how I look at this kicking situation.
You like to watch the video. You like to break things down. They touched on it Thursday night. Special teams continues to be a huge problem, but really it's the coverage or lack of. They've had, we know, the punt blocked for a touchdown. They had many opportunities. Quite honestly, I thought Chicago was going to get to Allen on several punts. What are you seeing when you see that right now their coverage? It seemed like on Thursday they were saying Kalu, it looked like Kalu, but really when you do a little bit, I guess, another look, it was more about Long than Kalu. Obviously, they both contributed, but what are you seeing right there where they're just letting guys come right up the gut, which is obviously a huge problem?
Well, yeah, that's exactly what's happening. The guys are coming right in the middle up the gut, and I think it's right to mention Kalu. There was a shortcoming on Long's part too, but you know, you block inside out, and on that one, Kalu took the guy on the outside. I'm not sure exactly whose man that was on the inside, but I know that typically what you do is you go inside out. Therefore, the guy on the inside probably should have been who Kalu blocked. But again, I don't know that particular scheme, so I can't really say whose fault it was. But the bottom line is there's too much pressure coming right through the middle of the line, and that can't happen. And you mentioned that there were three near blocks with Ryan Allen against the Bears. So it's not just one incident. It's something that just kind of seep, and then it busted through at the absolute wrong time against the call. I mean, there's never a right time, but in that game, in that particular moment, was the absolute worst time that it could have happened for the Titans.
In your opinion, can they fix this defense, or is this just what they're going to have to be the rest of the year, and they'll have to work around it?
I think they could fix it. And I think one of the things that you have to recognize is the last time we spoke to Coach Vrabel, which was after the game on Thursday, one of the things I asked about was going to a bit more press coverage. And he said that's something that they are going to consider going forward. He pointed to one of the times where they were in press coverage and you had a pick and it led to a big play. And when you have those picks and press like that, it comes down to communication and just switching off. And that's something that has to go right, just the exchange from one receiver to another, you know, on the cornerback side of things. And, again, that comes with communication. So long story short, yes, I do think the defense can improve. I think if they get more disruptive with the receivers and not allow them to freely run through zone and those type of situations or play off man on third and short or in Thursday's case, fourth and two, I think those are some things that can be fixed. And that will allow the guys up front a little bit more time to get home. Something that really isn't being talked about against the Colts. And Phillip Rivers was getting rid of the ball in 2.3 seconds. And I say it before, I say it again. You can have Reggie White and Bruce Smith, but John Randall and Cortez Kennedy in the middle, you're not going to get to the quarterback in 2.3 seconds. So that definitely isn't helping.
Albeit against three really good defenses the last three games, Steelers, Bears, Colts. So that there's the obvious answer is why is the offense gone down a tick? And maybe the other part is, well, they were never going to be able to keep that pace. But with the other deficiencies on the other side of the ball and on special teams, there's so much pressure relying on this offense to put points on the board because it feels like it's the only chance they have of winning. What do you attribute? Is it just they weren't going to stay at that pace? Is it those three defenses are really good and everybody struggles against them? Is it Taylor Lewan being out of the picture and now Saffold's banged up? I mean, where would you start with, I guess, the offense has come down a bit?
Well, it's all of the things that you mentioned. Those are all factors. I think really one thing that they're struggling to do, and you've seen it when they're firing on all cylinders, Coach Smith, he's in a rhythm calling the plays, and you're not getting that same feel, whereas they're not continuously putting together drives that just suck the life out of a team, like some of the drives that you've seen this year and especially last year. So really, for me, it comes down to going shoe to shoe, running the football. You got Derrick Henry is getting to that part of the season where it's cold. You want to run the football because as games continue to wear on, I don't care what anybody says, they don't want to tackle that. It's too much. And I think that's something that, you know, it's time to get back on that horse and ride him to victory, and that's really the key and the tone setter for this whole team. So for me, first, it starts with getting back to the rushing attack, getting back to feeding Derrick Henry, and again, you have the change of pace option with Foreman, especially with McNichols, who hits that hole so suddenly and gets up on linebackers quickly. I think that's something that you definitely need to do, and that's going to get teams back to committing so much to play to the run. And then you work the play action. Another thing that has to happen is they need to find that person. And this is something else I asked Mike Vrabel about. They need to find that person in the pass game that's consistently going to show up. Whereas every time you go out there, you know you're going to get big plays from them. And they don't have that from game to game. Initially this season, it was going, okay, you would have Corey Davis on this game, Jonnu Smith on this one, A.J. Brown on that one, Adam Humphries, and then come back. You can't have games where you don't have someone step up and be that guy, and that's a big issue in the passing game.
It's interesting that you feel like there's still room for improvement, even though the offense has been really good. Teron Davenport is with us, covers the Titans for ESPN. You can hear Talking with TD, outstanding podcast each week here on our station. Teron, I don't know if we ever got clarification of this, because I'm hoping there's no lingering issue, but one of the pivotal plays of the game, after the Titans got the huge stop on 4th and 1 at the goal line, they get the ball back at their own 1. Derrick Henry has great runs, 5, then 11, then 9. It's 2nd and 1 at the 20, but he had to come out of the game, and they had a shot on TV of them doing a little work on his shoulder. I don't know if it was an equipment issue or he was sore, but if you recall, Foreman got stopped, and then Tannehill tripped and got sacked, and then they had the bad punt, and everything sort of collapsed from there. Was there any problem injury-wise with Henry there?
It looked like there was something. I just in watching the TV copy, it looked like there was some kind of discomfort. But, I mean, Henry did come back in, and it didn't seem to be an issue. I think we'll really know on Wednesday, and that's something I admittedly forgot to ask Coach Vrabel about. I mean, it's not like we would have gotten a lot of detail anyway because we know how they approach the injury situation. But, no, I haven't gotten any clarity in regards to that.
Because, you know, like you said, they're still leading 17-13 at that point, and you're talking about feeding Henry. It looked like that was what they were doing, and then unfortunately he had to come out of the game for whatever reason. And to sort of tie it into something Darren was asking you about, and this was asked to Coach Vrabel, it's hard to get those sustaining drives when you don't have the ball that much. Right, the time of possession has been pretty alarming especially the last 3 or 4 weeks. It's really gone down. And you would think with the running attack they have, that would be anything but the case. But as you said, when you're playing that soft coverage and you're giving up a lot of drives that are double digit plays, which has happened a bunch, they're just not able to get off the field, and they're not giving that offense a chance to take over the game.
And that's a big problem. It just, again, shows you the impact of not playing complementary football, right? You mentioned being up and wanting to give the ball to Derrick Henry and just close the game with that lead. And what happens? You have a bad punt, then you have a block punt, and next thing you know, 14 points later, it's a different approach that you have to take to the ball game. And then in addition to that, you mentioned playing off, and let's call a spade a spade. Their third down defense has been pitiful, and that's an issue. In addition to that, red zone scoring percentage allowed, that has been terrible. These are two areas where this team is in the bottom two, maybe three in the league. And those are things that tie into, you know, being able to close a game out and being able to have that time of possession. If you have teams driving down the field and then punching it in once they get to the red zone, what can you do? And I think that's a major issue. And it just really goes to the point of what Coach Vrabel has said about having to play complementary football.
Yeah, it's giving the offense almost no margin for error because there's no support from special teams and very little support from the defense. But let's set the table for the week, Teron, and you touched on it earlier. When you want to go toe to toe and play the smash mouth, the physical game with Derrick Henry, I did see the Patriots last night, who are not a vaunted offense. They ran it right at the Ravens with a lot of success. I do feel like that's really where you can start with your game planning against a really tough team like Baltimore.
Yeah, I think it definitely is where you could do that. And you have to remember, they're playing without Calais Campbell. He's on IR, so he's not going to be there. Brandon Williams suffered an injury. And, you know, if you look at the Ravens' defense, Brandon Williams is a very he's like the Daquan Jones of their defense, right? A guy that just continuously makes plays. It doesn't show up in the box score, but he's a tremendously important player on that scheme. So that's something. And then, you know, I'm not sure what's going to happen with Jimmy Smith, whether or not he's going to come back, but that secondary behind that front, they like to run a lot of man defense, and it's Jimmy Smith is probably playing as good as any other DB in that secondary. So if you don't have him, that's going to make things a little more difficult. You definitely want to run the football. I think this is one of those weeks where you have to use misdirection because Patrick Queen is so aggressive to the football, and you could kind of get him out of – allow him to run himself out of the play with counters and those type of things, jet sweeps, and running off of that, the dive off of it. I think this is a week where you want to do that, and you want to get in there, and it's really important for the Titans to run the ball effectively from the start. I think that first drive, you get it and you stuff it down their throat. It's really important to do that because this Ravens team did everything they can to stock up, to be able to stop the run. And then on top of that, they're coming off a loss in which what happened? They got the ball stuffed down their throat. Then not to mention Derek Wolfe, not sure where he's going to be as well. So there's some different pieces that are missing, and there are opportunities for them to definitely run the football. They absolutely have to do it.
That was the number one thing that surprised me last night is New England, they ran it right at them, 173 yards on 39 carries, and really controlled the game with the running attack. They didn't have to throw it that much. So let's go to the other side. I'm just giving you ideas, Teron, for your whiteboard Wednesdays. Not that you need them for
me. Oh, I have it already.
I'm sure you already had it. But let's look at the other side of the ball. What is wrong? Why is the Ravens offense not cooking the way it was last year where nobody could stop them?
Yeah, it's interesting. I was talking to my friend Brandon Howard, and he's with Football Game Plan, and he writes for The Athletic as well. And we were talking last night, and here it is. They don't use any 13 personnel. Whereas last year when they had Hayden Hurst and those two tight ends, they were doing that all the time, and they were effectively running the football, just getting outstanding matchups. I'm talking about power on smaller guys and just running the ball effectively. That's something that they haven't been doing. They've been using more 22 personnel with Rashard as the fullback. But I really think the problem with this Ravens offense is they're kind of doing the defense's job for them, right? And defenses, they always want to cut the field in half and condense things for Lamar Jackson. So when you're going with these 22 personnel, 12 personnel, and you're not spreading it out, I think you're just cramping his opportunity to operate in space. And that's what he does better than pretty much anyone. And that's something that has to happen. They need more spread personnel. Hollywood Brown is not playing. Marquise Brown, he's not playing as well as someone would expect. So that's been an issue. He's trying to force the ball to him. And then you got guys in Prochet and Devin Duvernay that you really need to get onto the field and just open things up. So I think that's where the problem is coming with this Ravens offense is teams are able to just load up in the middle of the field and it's just not spread out. And that's an issue when you have a guy like Lamar Jackson who is so well in space.
Teron, appreciate the visit. As always, have a great week and we'll talk to you next Monday. Who knows what we'll be talking about. It'll be very interesting to see how it all plays out.
Yes, it will. Appreciate you guys having me on.
All right, that is Talking with TD. That podcast will drop this week. And, of course, Nate and TD on Friday nights during the 6 o'clock hour. I want to talk to you right now about Blue Note Juke Joint. You've heard me talking about them. Small batch bourbon crafted right here in the state in Memphis, Tennessee. And they are very, very proud of that. Right there in Memphis, this Blue Note Juke Joint, artfully crafted to honor the blues. They're proud of that. They're very proud of that. That's part of their history. Blue Note Juke Joint is smoother than smooth. You hear me talk about that all the time. Well, you should try it yourself. It's unfiltered at 93 proof, and you'll see for yourself that it is smoother than smooth. And it's available all over Middle Tennessee. So go find it, and then in the entire state in case you're out there traveling. Blue Note Bourbon family also includes Blue Note Juke Joint and the Blue Note Premium Small Batch, which was a 9-year bourbon that I'm dying to try. You can follow them on Instagram at Blue Note Bourbon and on Facebook. Don't forget, around the holidays, if you're looking for that special gift for somebody who's a bourbon lover, whether it's in your circle of friends or your family members, I certainly have that. You can find them some special Blue Note single barrel selections at several areas or stores here in Middle Tennessee. It's Blue Note Juke Joint. Smoother than smooth.